屏幕前的观众朋友们，大家好，欢迎来到惠灵顿中国教育集团杭州小区的直播间。我是本次直播的主持人，何瑞，我也是我们学校市场和招生部的负责人。那今天呢，我们的直播是关于如何在三个月我们快速的提升中学生的英语能力。那我们非常有幸在今天的直播中邀请到了我们中学部的两位老师，Michelle 和 David。那首先呢，我们请这两位老师。简单的做一个自我介绍。Okay, first, can you do a brief introduction of yourself?
Yeah, my name is Michelle Brooks. I'm acting assistant head for ORSI, so I oversee ORSI across senior schools. This is my fifth year at the school, and I've taught English for each of those years. Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle. David?
And my name is David McKinnon. I'm the deputy head of senior schools here at Wellington College Hangzhou. I've been here since the founding year, 2018.My main responsibility is academics, and I work closely with Michelle, especially on Literacy Lab.
Thank you, David. 那今天我们的直播呢是会用英文来进行。那我们也为各位观众呢准备了我们 AI 的智能翻译。大家可以在我们的直播间看到相应的翻译的字幕。The first question is, what is Literacy Lab and why do our school establish Literacy Lab?
Okay, so Literacy Lab is an after-school academy program that we decided to run because many of our students are on their English language acquisition journey at different paths. And what we found was that some of them could use a bit of a boost, to get them up to a more confident level in terms of their English reading age.And so we came up with a program that was able to give them that extra practice, that extra exposure, to build those skills, to build those confidence, to build their confidence, to help them in all their lessons
right.
at school.
Mm-hmm. When is the Literacy Lab exactly?
So it's on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday from 4:15 to 5:15.
Right.
So they have a little bit of a break at the end of school, and then they get right back into it. And it also involves a bit of extra work during the week. But they do have the perk of having extra time to do their homework on the weekend. But yeah, it's a commitment for the students, but one we found has been really valuable for the students that have attended.
Right.
And I think what we've actually found is, although Literacy Lab does begin at 4:15, most students are there by as quickly as they can be, which is great to see. They rush through the doors quite quickly.
Okay. Well, good to see that. Good to hear that. The second question is, what kind of pupils are suitable for participating in Literacy Lab, and what level can pupils achieve after attending the Literacy Lab?
Okay. So when we look at who might need Literacy Lab and that extra support, what we're really looking at is end of key stage expected reading age. And when I say expected, what I really mean is minimum reading age that we would expect at the end of key stage three so that they can be successful when they start grade nine, key stage four. Mm-hmm. So based on research and our experience and understanding of where students need to be, what we've done is we've set a threshold of a 10 and a half reading age, English reading age, for the end of grade eight or the beginning of grade nine. And then what we've done as well is kind of scale that back year by year. So if we look at grade six, we would say a reading age of 7.5. And then grade seven, we would expect a reading age of 9. And basically going up a year and a half each year because we know that our students make accelerated progress. We've shown that in the past. So the idea is that we're setting up these benchmarks, these milestones that they can hit so that we know that by the time they get to GCSE, when things get more challenging because they have lots of different classes and most of the classes are in English, we want to set them up to be successful.
Right. Out of my curiosity is, for IGCSE, it's usually for grade 10 pupils, and they're usually reaching the age of 15. Why we set the age of 10 and a half for their IGCSE entrance level?
Yeah. So grade 10, at the end of grade 10, right? that's the end of the IGCSE program. So what we're saying is 10 and a half at the beginning of grade 9.
Right.
And that's effectively a 2-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in addition to that, when we talk about the minimum of 10 and a half, we're really focusing on a minimum there for ESL, English as a second language learners.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily as first language. First mm-hmm. language, we'd need to see a higher reading age
exactly.
for them to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, not just in English, there are some other subjects that require quite a high English reading level. So that would also have an impact potentially on their option choices. Again, mm-hmm. minimum 10 and a half. We really set that as that kind of hopeful that they have the chance to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at what they will need to do, what they will need to learn in all their individual IGCSE courses, it's really important that they have that basic reading comprehension level mm-hmm. that they're able to access, and they're not having to build up those skills at the same time as learning all the new content in their different subjects.
Yeah, and we do see that some of the pupils join our school from, say, grade 6 or grade 7, their English level is quite low. So I think setting those target for each grade, for example, grade 6 is 7.5.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and grade 8, grade 7 is 9. Yeah. It's kind of a progressive. Yeah. It's not like too ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, setting small, attainable goals rather than
and finally reaching the 10 and a half.
That's right.
I think maybe they will exceed that target.
Yeah.
Thank you. And next question is, how do you integrate oracy development into reading and writing instruction in the literacy lab?
So oracy we weave oracy throughout each session. So we have 4 sessions a week, and we tend not to break the sessions into skills. Each session contains elements of reading, writing, speaking, and listening. So regardless of which part of the session the child is at, they have access to reading mm. the text and then hearing the text, mm. listening to the text, speaking about the text. So oracy it isn't really just a case of at this point in the session they practice oracy. It's weaved throughout each
right.
lesson
yeah.
For them, which is really important because it allows them to grow in confidence
yeah.
throughout the sessions.
Yeah, I think it's very important for them to practice each area of English, for example, listening, speaking,
mm.
because in some of the pupils, they are from the Chinese public system.
Yeah.
And in the Chinese public system, we focus on writing, reading,
mm-hmm.
and listening, but not speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the pupils, when they join our school, they can understand what the teacher said, but they can't ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Which will affect the confidence level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think being able to have the confidence to speak, to verbalize what you need to say is incredibly important. And what we find is that children tend to begin the program slightly hesitant to use their voices. And so it's our job to train them to remove that fear,
mm-hmm.
essentially, to allow them the space and we'll touch on later, but the Literacy Lab is small groups, no more mm-hmm. than 10 students in a group, which means that we give them the opportunity to speak each session, to practice the pronunciation of words each session, to be able to clarify words they do not understand verbally before applying their knowledge to a written form. So we're finding that the ability for pupils to grow in confidence
mm-hmm.
is really, really something special for us. Yeah.
So although our target is to raise their reading age, mm-hmm. but actually we're not only preparing their reading age, it's actually for listening, speaking, and writing.
For us, if if a child cannot clarify a misunderstood word or a word they just do not understand at all, then they're going to skip that word in a piece of text. So for them to be able to verbalize a misunderstanding or to clarify a word, it means then that they can read better. It means that they can go back and they can understand what that word means, and it might make the difference between them understanding a full passage or full text or not. So it's really important for us to not see the skills as separate. They're all part of one. And we do tend to say that if a child can, you know, speak it, they can write it and they can read it, and vice versa.
Yeah, it's all related.
It's all related, absolutely, yeah.
One of the things I think as well when we talk about oracy is, and Michelle talked about it, that I'm a little bit hesitant at the start. And I just think it's really important. A lot of work that Michelle has been doing, not just with the Literacy Lab, but across the school, focused on oracy, is providing our teachers and our students with that support, the ones that need it. So we talk about sentence stems a lot, where you're giving them part of the sentence, leaving a few words blank, and they have something to read first. They can read it out loud. It gives them that extra support, and then slowly taking it away. So that by the end, you know, by the end of the Literacy Lab, they don't need that sentence stem anymore. Right. They've got the confidence that they can read it out. They can generate sentences on their own.
And of course, once they have those skills, they can apply them everywhere. So they learn the skills, for example, a sentence stem, and they realize, okay, it's removed now. Well, they understand how then to frame a response in their mind. So then when they're in different situations, it may be that they travel overseas and they have to buy something in a shop, or they go for an interview at university, whatever it might be, they have trained themselves. We've supported them to understand how to frame responses in their mind, how to clarify things if they do not understand, and how to reframe their responses so that when they do respond, it's strong.
Yeah. And I think it's very important, because if you plan to go abroad for further study, it's a very important part of their life, future life. You have to talk with other people. Thank you. And next, Isabel, can you share an example of a class activity that helps people develop their speaking and thinking skills in the Literacy Lab?
Yeah. So I think probably it's difficult to share just one example, because each session is just full of really great examples of how we do this. But I think probably considering how a piece of text and quite a sophisticated piece of text is quite quickly introduced to students who you would think normally wouldn't be able to access those words. So for us, we start each lesson with unpacking the language, the words that are inside that piece of text. And then we crucially ask students to clarify any words they do not understand. So we go through keywords first. We think about pronunciation. And then we ask students to clarify a piece of text. So that piece of text is the text that we use throughout the week. And we focus on that piece of text, because what we want to do is know that the students do not just learn the words and forget the words, because we know just learning words doesn't really help us.
Right.
We have to learn words. We have to understand them. We have to integrate them into our, we have to make them our own. We have to use them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have to practice them. So that's what Literacy Lab is about for us. It's about using those words over and over again, reviewing that language and applying. So that's where the piece of text I talk about comes into its own, because once the students can apply their word banks, their word knowledge, that piece of text, they're then able, and the teachers guide them expertly through, to be able to comprehend what that text means. So to be able to read around words, to be able to understand inference of the text, for example, to understand things like tone, intonation of the text, which is vital for our children. And then from there, they can very easily move on to start to critically engage. So that probably is a wider than just one example. But really, it's difficult to just find one example, because to see this in action from the, I think we would agree, from the start to the finish mm-hmm. of one session, and to watch a child move from understanding some key words to being able to infer is massive. You know, it's really, yeah. it's really something special to watch.
Right. And you mentioned about clarify.
Mm.
I think it took courage, took a lot of courage
yes.
for Chinese students to have those kind of...
The confidence
to speak up.
Yeah,
I don't know this word. I need you to clarify this for me.
And we train
because most of the Chinese students, they are shy. They don't dare to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we train our students with a simple sentence: "Please, may you clarify."
Mm.
It's such a simple sentence, but if we think about how powerful
yeah.
it is, you know, and many of our students feel, I don't want to say failure, but I think they do sometimes feel as though they've failed if they have to ask and if they have to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching this sentence, and then teaching this sentence in terms of actually this makes you a strong person, this
yeah.
makes you sound strong,
yeah.
whether you're in an interview as an adult or if you say, please may you clarify this, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows our students to feel confident, to feel strong in their approach
yeah.
to using language. So Literacy Lab is about more than just learning words and just learning language. It's about confidence. It's about their growth as young adults,
mm-hmm.
really, and
yeah.
how they conduct themselves in the wider world.
We talk a lot about confidence, and we've seen
yeah.
a huge growth in the confidence yeah. of the students in the program. You know, one example, just today, I was doing a reading test with one of the students, and then I mentioned to her that I said, "Oh, you're much more talkative today than when we tested at the beginning of the program." She said, "Yeah, I just didn't want to talk to you then." And it was just the confidence to be able to say that to yeah. to a teacher. It was just uh-huh. incredible. So
yeah.
it's been really nice to see the kids kind
yeah.
of growth in that area.
Yeah,
I think throughout this literacy lab, if we make the student use "Can you please clarify that" every mm. day, it become one of their habit, and they won't be afraid to
yeah.
ask this.
Yeah. yeah,
and it is a great advantage of them. Yeah,
absolutely. We have a word of the week, and it's shared each week for the students, and they gain value points if they use it correctly in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first words we had was clarify. And what I found was that the Literacy Lab students, and we use the phrase, "Please may I clarify," across mm-hmm. the school, but what I found was the Literacy Lab students realized very quickly, well, I can earn value points here, right? And I know mm-hmm. what this word means, and I've been trained to use this sentence really
right.
well.
Yeah.
So I found that teachers were saying to me, hey, they keep coming to me and saying, like, "Please may I clarify, please may I clarify."
It's really good.
And it's yeah. great. It just opens up that,
yeah.
you know, that confidence.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing that. The next question is, why does improving reading age impact the performance across all subjects?
Yeah, I can go to this one. So really, it's their ticket to be able to access what they're learning in their class. So if you look at a science topic, and if they're not able to understand, you know, multiple words in the text or on the screen, things like that, that's going to, again, we come back to confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to knock down their confidence. They're going to be unsure. They're going to be unclear on what it is that they're being asked to do or what they're reading. So I think it's really crucial for everything. It's their entry to be able to understand, to be able to engage in the discussions. And of course, our teachers will be, you know, crafty, and they know what they're doing to support the kids. But the more we can get them up closer to their chronological age, then they're able to engage in more of those discussions that are suited for their for their level and their ability to analyze and to critically look at
mm-hmm.
at different things. So I think
yeah.
it's really fundamental
yeah.
Across all the subjects.
I think reading is definitely important,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, listening is also very important, because if the student, they cannot understand what the teacher said in
mm-hmm.
the class, it may be very challenging for them
mm-hmm.
to continue the study of this subject. So as we just discussed, the literacy lab is not only improve their reading, it's also like their speaking, their listening. Mm-hmm. Do we have any like specific tactics used in the literacy lab to improve their listening?
Yeah, so I mean, they, you know, as I discussed earlier, the skill of listening is weaved through each session. Mm-hmm. They're expected to be able to listen mm-hmm. with intent. And it's important to understand the difference between listening and listening with intent, right? I don't like using the word training, but really it is taking a child back and saying, this is how you listen and this is why you listen. So for us, throughout our sessions, the skill of listening is built in as teachers instruct, as they listen to their peers read, as they have to clarify and they have to listen to that feedback. And we know the research tells us that for a multilingual learner, it's important that they don't just have one listen of an instruction or a piece of text. Mm-hmm. They need multiple opportunities. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is where that smaller group and slowing the pace slightly offers that opportunity. So I think there isn't really just one instance where we could say, oh, this is what we do to support listening, because mm-hmm. we do it throughout each session.
Right.
So there isn't anything really specific there as such. But given the time for a student to really learn how to listen properly, I think mm-hmm. it's about the skill rather than the content, if you like.
Right. I can recall when I studied English in my senior school, for the listening part, I usually listen like 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
It's what you just mentioned, several times at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get used to the language environment, the times you listen to the context will be reduced significantly.
Yeah.
So it's gradually progress.
And of course, when you know, we listen and then we expect, so it may be that the first listen is about just listening with mm-hmm. intent. The second listen may be, okay, you're going to listen and you're going to complete a gap fill
mm-hmm.
exercise, because we want to check, want to assess that you understand the key
mm-hmm.
terms or the key words. And then the third listen may be something slightly more complex. So, for example, they may have to listen and they may have to find key information, or they may have to order key information in a piece of text.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having to really, and it's quite challenging for them, because they have to use different parts of their brain,
mm-hmm.
Together.
Yeah.
They have to, if they're, for example, they're having to order pieces of text, they're having to listen, think, read, and write.
Yeah.
So it's a skill that grows over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think also important, and I know Michelle touched on it earlier, in Literacy Lab, with the small group sizes, it's that they always need to be on their game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to be very active.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be listening, because they know that they're going to be, you know, there's a much greater chance that they're going to be called upon than potentially.
There's nowhere to hide.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we used to call it cold call,
uh-huh.
but I was on a recent CPD uh-huh. and I heard the term for the first time, that we call it hot call or warm call now, which is when we call out children. And it's always good practice to say at the start of a task,
uh-huh.
we're going to cold call. Because they know, okay, like, you could come to me. This mm-hmm. is, you know, this is concerning. I need to really listen with intent here. But yeah, it works. It works for our children.
Yeah,
as
I remember
say,
when I was
toes.
A student, I'm really afraid of this cold call.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me really focus.
Yeah.
And when I was in senior school, when I practiced my listening, I think I'm only do the audio listening.
Mm.
It's not like in a real study environment with an expatriate teacher on site. I can see what the teacher said, and have the reactions.
Yeah. It's body language, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So important. It is completely different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like 90% of our communication is nonverbal, isn't it? So, and we teach this. We teach, you know, we have, when we're talking about oracy, we have two types of oracy. And many people think, oh, if you stand up and present, that's oracy, right? Mm. And it is. It's presentational oracy. But exploratory oracy is the part that we're teaching our children. We have to explicitly teach this. We have to teach somebody how to make eye contact when they speak with somebody, how to sit in a particular way, how to throw their voice, how to use intonation and tone to change the way they shape their words to mean different things, particularly within the English language where words can, one word can mean multiple things.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is, what are the differences in target reading ages between Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4 pupils?
Yeah, so we touched on this earlier as well. In terms of Key Stage 3, it's about building up their confidence to put them on that path, on that journey, to be at a minimum reading age of 10 and a half by the end of Key Stage 3. Mm-hmm. So it's again setting up those kind of those attainable goals that they can reach towards. It makes them manageable within each grade. In terms of Key Stage 4, it's all about, so we say 10 and a half as a minimum, but it's all about having that basic level to be able to access the content that they're reading within all of their subjects. You know, we talked about it before, about the end of Key Stage 4 kind of being when they're maybe around 15 years old. So we hope obviously that they'll make that progress within, but as they're learning the content, they need to have that basic language level to be able to comprehend the text that they're reading and to be able to engage in discussions and writing about what they're learning.
So, for example, if a pupil entering the literacy lab with a reading age of, say, 7 years old, and the target for this student is to reach 9 years old, because that pupil is currently for grade 7, and after the literacy lab, the pupil reached the 9 years old, can he continue the study in the literacy lab, or... He can just graduate.
Yeah, no, absolutely continue. Mm-hmm. We would encourage them to continue. And we do have some from the first round that have expressed interest to continue in our second round of Literacy Lab. Because really what we say is 10 and a half is our graduation age.
It's a minimum.
Yeah, a minimum for moving into Key Stage 4. But it's also our graduation age for Literacy Lab. Because that's where we want to get them to. But if they get to 7.5, while they're in grade 6, that's great, but they can still improve, because if you look at these students, I mean, below 10 and a half and below, they're still below their chronological age, so they still have a deficit in terms of their reading age compared to their chronological age. So always encourage them to continue to boost up. And the kids really enjoy it.
They do.
That's one of the things that's been great. Normally I sit outside and kind of observe, because I'm not a trained English specialist. But I remember one time in particular, there was one group that was very active, laughing, another group absolutely loving life, laughing, and just another group that was super focused, smiles on their faces, and it was just, and this is at maybe 5 o'clock. So, you know, exactly. After a long day of school, 5 o'clock, and they're engaged and enjoying themselves in this extra, you know, some would call it torture of having to add in extra English time within a school day. But no, it's been great.
And I think that's a really important thing to discuss as well. Firstly, well-being is our priority for any child. If we felt that well-being of a child was going to be affected by extra study, we would step in and say this isn't right for the child. But in terms of the students who do come to Literacy Lab enjoying themselves and the staff we have encouraging that, planning their lessons so the children do enjoy their time there, it's really important for us, because what we don't want our students to see is English as some kind of punishment. Yeah, we want them to enjoy learning English. Yeah. As soon as they see it as something that they have to do and they don't like, mm-hmm. then it switches something in their mind where they start to lose confidence. They don't want to take part. They right. don't want to do it. And I'm not just talking about literacy lab. I'm talking mm-hmm. about, you know, around schools.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah, yeah. And that obviously affects their English acquisition. So it's really important to us that we have the correct people who can plan the lessons to think about the students in front of them. Yeah. And so we really do carefully plan the groups to make sure that works.
And I see most of our pupils at school, they are very smart. Mm. Sometimes it's because they're limited by their English level. Yeah. So they're not so active in the class. I think if they attended the literacy lab, it improved their oral level, English level, and also their confidence level.
Yeah.
They'll be more enjoying the school.
Yeah, I walked past one of our students earlier, and she's just graduated from our literacy lab, actually. So we've had to say to her, hey, like, you know, you've surpassed your age now, and which is great. She was talking to two of her friends who do not attend literacy lab, and she was talking in English to them, and they responded in Chinese, mm-hmm. and she said, oh,
which is saying
she wanted English. Them to speak in English, mm-hmm. which is great. And you know, it was awkward and difficult for them, but I thought if this could spread, this is really great stuff, you know. Yeah. Students encouraging each other to use English.
This is a really positive change.
Yeah, because then of course they can move between their first language and their second language at ease, mm-hmm. according to when they want to, not when they have to.
Yeah. Thank you. And the next question is, at Key Stage 4, how does reading age specifically affect IGCSE performance?
Yeah, so I mean, it isn't really that much different than at Key Stage 3. If a student's reading age is low, mm-hmm. they can't access the key language they need to be able to access, for want of a better word, the examination papers in front of them, the study mm-hmm. For GCSE.
Right.
The language obviously grows in complexity in Key Stage 4. And as Dave spoke about earlier, it's very, very difficult for a student to be able to study at a particular level, understand all the key terminology, mm-hmm. whilst also trying to work out how to learn and understand that key terminology, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So those skills, those study skills, are really inbuilt in the literacy lab program in Key Stage 3. So if a student enters Key Stage 4 and their reading age isn't high enough, then what we would generally find is that they can't access the language that they see on examination papers. Mm. They can't access the language that they need to use to respond to questions in class. We start to see the language move into tier 2, tier 3 level at mm-hmm. Key Stage 4 a lot more. And so if they haven't secured tier 1 language, obviously that's going to create a chasm for them. Mm-hmm. So we then are trying to catch up on the tier 1 language whilst also introducing tier 2 and 3 language, which is, if you think about language in three levels, that tier 2 and 3 language is going to be very difficult for them to unpack and understand. So we have lots of strategies to be able to support students in that position. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's better, instead of having to apply those strategies, that they just get to that reading age a lot sooner, mm-hmm. because then they can concentrate their time on examination skill rather than having to think about how to remember words.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And if they can't access those exam questions properly, if they don't understand what words such as examine or analyze or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. they're going to naturally lose marks on their examination papers.
Yeah, definitely they will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think IGCSE exam require a lot of writing as well.
Yeah.
Especially for history or humanity, those kind of subjects.
Yeah.
And if their reading age cannot reach certain level, that will definitely affect their writing level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, most subjects require, you know, quite a bit of writing, some more than others.
Yeah.
But they would need to be able to write, you know, extensively about a particular topic. And it's not just about the exam.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of as they're getting towards the end of the course. It's also throughout the course.
Mm-hmm.
If they're learning a new topic in class and maybe they have to go home and do some reading on that topic. Well, if they've got a reading age well below where they need to be, then they're going to have to translate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to have to learn it in Chinese, and then they're going to have to figure out where it matches in English. Right. And it just, the time that it's taking to do that, right? Whereas somebody that has that proficient reading level in English, they don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. They're learning already in English.
Right.
And they're learning about a new topic in English that they don't know in Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to...
There are so many. I mean, it's pace. It's context. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the more you read, the more you understand around the world, about the world, and the faster you can read. Mm-hmm. And we see that, right? Yeah. You know, they enter Key Stage 4, and if their reading age is high enough, then they can, as the pace grows, they can read faster, and so they can move through text faster, and they can maybe understand context a little better. But if the reading age is lower, then you have to work on different skills.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. And the next question is, the first session of the Literacy Lab has ended. And how has the pupils' English proficiency improved?
Yeah, so we've given some examples about some of their confidence and kind of what we've seen in their behavior and their responses. In terms of kind of hard data, we took a look at their... we tested them at the end of Literacy Lab and compared that to their a test 8 months ago. And what we found is that the students on average made 19 months reading progress within, you know, after 8 months.
Oh.
So that's almost 2.5 times kind of that expected progress that we'd expect as they get 8 months older, that they would improve.
It's very impressive. Yeah.
So the kids are making fantastic progress. So we're really, really proud of the first cohort.
Yeah. It's great, really great to hear that. And how do you use this baseline and formative assessment to adapt your teaching?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So we baseline with NGRT, which gives us their accurate reading age at the start of the program. And then throughout, we use formative assessment through each lesson, really. So throughout the lessons, the teachers will learn to understand where the children are in terms of each of the skills, reading, writing, speaking, and listening. And then they will adapt the content of the following lesson according to what they've witnessed, what they've seen. We use IXL as well. And that's part of, we don't use that within the class. We use that as an additional sort of homework task, because Literacy Lab, just to go off topic slightly, is divided into two parts. So we have the talk part in lesson, then we have the homework section.
Right.
And the homework section is a review of the learning they've completed in class.
So IXL is an homework session.
Yeah, so IXL is an additional online platform.
Right.
So it's something that the students can do alongside their homework booklets. They're given a homework booklet, which lasts for 1 hour each evening. Mm-hmm. So we have an hour taught, 1 hour booklet homework, and then we have IXL, which the children choose to engage with because they really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us very clear indications of, whichever skill is set on IXL, it allows the teacher to be able to log on and see, okay, so this student really needs to work on this area, maybe this point of grammar, or they maybe need to work on this vocabulary. Right. And then they will adapt the learning, and they adapt. We adapt the homework teaching, booklet and the teaching for the child next session. So it isn't all just about sitting down with an actual test in front of them. It's about the teacher very skillfully understanding through each lesson.
So every lesson.
Yeah. And
they will do like a assessment and homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything they do is assessed. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily in a written test format. And that's our normal way of working anyway. Yeah. It's our usual way of working throughout the school. But our teachers are so skilled within Literacy Lab. They will pick up very quickly if a child didn't quite make the progress they expected in a particular area, and they will go away and they will adapt the next session of learning to make sure that child can make that progress.
Right.
So that's how we use assessment throughout the program. Mm-hmm.
One example I'm just thinking about in particular, one of the teachers, she actually came to us to kind of check, because
yes.
we did set out quite particular curriculum in
yeah.
terms of kind of the, yeah. the expectation, the routine. Mm-hmm. And then she said to us, she said that this, I can't remember exactly what the grammar point was. She was saying they were all struggling with it and was really mm-hmm. holding them back
right.
from what they were trying to accomplish. She said, mm-hmm. is it okay if I just take one lesson, go off mm-hmm. track a little bit, but mm-hmm. to get them to upskill them in this area so
right.
that so then I can move on. Mm-hmm. And it's that sort of thing. It's that you make a plan, you start, and then you realize, actually, no, this area, I need to switch it. I need yeah. to adapt
right.
it slightly. I need
yeah.
to.
We have our standard, but also we have
absolutely.
The flexibility for the
exactly.
teachers
yeah.
to adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. best teachers. The confident
yeah.
teachers
yeah. Mm-hmm.
do that because they know what the students need to get to this point. It's not a straight line.
Yeah.
yeah. And their judgment is based on the scientific result.
Absolutely.
Of the IXL.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. And the homework booklet and in-class learning.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, we look at like the Educational Endowment Fund, for example,
mm-hmm.
their research shows that adaptive teaching is the best practice. That's mm. the best assessment when we assess in the moment. We understand what our child needs in the moment and we adapt our practice. And that's exactly what Dave was talking about, you know, being able to. We had a teacher as well who said, I need to pause because we introduce new words weekly. And she was slightly concerned that the children had learned too many words mm. and she wanted to check in to ensure that they could recall those words.
Right.
Because
mm.
there's no point teaching,
yeah.
you know, 100 words.
If, yeah.
What's the point,
there's
right? For
yeah.
they might pass a test or something, but then mm. it's no use to anybody. So she stopped. She went back. She checked in,
mm-hmm.
she retaught, and then she continued. And that's the exceptional practice that we expect within mm-hmm. Literacy Lab.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is, what feedback have you received from pupils and parents about the Literacy Lab? And we just discussed, we see the pupils, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the 2 more hour study, they're happy. 1 hour teaching and 1 hour homework. And what about the parents?
Really positive. I mean,
yeah.
to me, it's not necessarily even messages that you'd receive. It's also the fact that semester 2 is coming up, and
mm-hmm.
then we ask them who wants to continue in the program,
mm-hmm.
and the students and the parents, you know, have said yes.
Yeah.
That's
they voted by their action.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's to me. That's the biggest, show of. The
mm-hmm.
fact that they appreciate it, they think it's worth their time, it's worth their children's time, because it is a big investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about financially here necessarily,
it's a commitment.
But it's a commitment, it's
yeah.
a time commitment,
yeah.
and it's you know it's there, it's
mm-hmm.
it's an extra 2 hours, like we said,
yeah,
every day. So it is a big investment. So that
yeah.
aside from that, our wonderful teachers have received lots of praise within their groups, because we use DingTalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have small groups set
yeah.
up, but lots of positive praise from
yeah.
from the parents.
And each week in the homework booklet, we have a section on Friday where we ask the children over the weekend to consider, you know, what they feel we could improve, what they feel works well, what they've learned well this week, and it's a private area, so we can read it and. You know, unpack what we can do better, but also if there are any areas the children have of concern, they can relate that to us. And those comments are always really, really nice to read. They're
mm-hmm.
very positive. And sometimes the children just, you know, they write things about, you know, I enjoyed being with my friends and laughing this week, but I learned lots of new words and I can now use those new words in a sentence, or I learned how to, so the clarify sentence, for example. One of the comments 1 week was, I know how to ask if I do not understand something now.
That's important.
And that's really important.
Yeah.
And it's just small things like that tell us, you know, we can't measure this. There's no data point that says, oh, we can gather this information. And but for us, we can read it, we can feel it, and we can see the difference
yeah.
in the children.
Just curious, if some of the students, they get lazy, they don't complete the homework.
Mm-hmm.
What will you do?
Okay, so we have quite a strict routine. So the children, mm-hmm. The children know when they enter Literacy Lab, they understand what the criteria is. They understand what's expected of them. They have a reprieve for their subject homework during the week, but they have to catch up at the weekend. So we don't set Literacy Lab homework on a Saturday and Sunday. We set mm-hmm. it Monday to Friday, even right. though they're not there on the Wednesday. We do set a Wednesday homework. Mm. So if they do not bring the Literacy Lab homework, we have a conversation with them to say, hey, you don't have to complete your subject homework during the week. So mm-hmm. what homework are you completing at this point? We will have a friendly conversation with them, and we'll expect them to bring it the next session,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. because we want to teach them how to control their own yeah. behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
If on the second session they haven't brought that homework, then we send a message home to say, could you please encourage your child to complete right. this work?
Mm-hmm.
If it continues, then obviously we communicate with parents and we find a way forward. It's important for us to understand why as well. So we don't just jump in and say, oh, right. there's a punishment. You know, we have to understand why.
Yeah.
It might be that the child had a particularly busy week and we encourage parents to communicate with us as well. You know, if there's an issue, then communicate with us. But the homework is important because this is a two-part program.
Yeah. Yeah.
So without the homework, they aren't reinforcing their learning
mm-hmm.
from the lesson.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's important, like what you said as well, is okay, if they come in the first day,
mm-hmm.
you can bring it the next day. We give them a chance.
Yeah.
They're kids.
Yeah.
Right? You can't forget that. They're kids. But mm-hmm. we are setting yeah. high expectations.
Absolutely.
We are building, you know, behaviors that that will lead to success.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having those high expectations,
yes.
but then also recognizing that they're kids and being compassionate
mm-hmm.
and giving them another chance yeah. is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the effective communication with the parents is also
yeah.
very important.
Yeah, definitely.
Because parents, they need to know what happened at school. Yeah, and those kind of timely feedback to them
mm-hmm.
will help how they handle this kind of situation at home
yeah.
with their kids.
And of course, it might mean that, you know, the beauty of this program is we see so many children go to outside programs. And the beauty of what we have to offer is that we know the children really well. So if we know that actually they haven't completed their homework and maybe they have, their parents says, well, they've been very tired this week, we can then start to speak to other subject teachers and we can start to understand what's going on in a bigger
right.
picture,
mm-hmm.
which is really important for the child, for us, for the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there's a holistic approach
yeah.
to this. And as Dave said, we want to teach the children to manage their time. It's mm-hmm. part of it. This isn't a program just about learning words. This is a program about the child developing holistically, growing
yeah.
as an individual. So
mm-hmm.
the whole package can yeah. be brought together.
I think we might need to think about changing the program name.
yeah.
Limited to literacy, right? And you mentioned about the small class size. How small, to be specific?
So this recent round, we had our smallest class size was seven.
Mm-hmm.
And
seven.
Yeah.
yeah and
wow.
our biggest was...
It's literally nowhere to hide.
Nine. Yes.
Yeah, nine. Yeah. So it was between seven to nine.
Right.
We
yeah.
say that it can't be more than 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get past a certain point, I think you lose it. There are places potentially to hide.
Yeah.
No, because we do want it to be really impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to keep
yeah.
to keep those small class sizes. And it just... the relationship building. I mean, I touched on it earlier with all the smiling faces and the laughing
mm-hmm.
and those sorts of things. With those small group sizes, the relationships that the teachers mm-hmm. can build with the students and the students amongst themselves, it's just easier. It just happens faster.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's a closer,
yeah.
tight-knit group whenever
yeah.
they're smaller in size.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. And the next one is, have you noticed any changes in pupils' learning habits or language use outside the classroom? I think we mentioned this
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
But I can give a further example. I was in the library
mm-hmm.
The other day helping supervise a library session. I noticed one of the pupils from one of the groups of Literacy Lab
mm-hmm.
and they were given a task. It was a book review.
Mm.
And so the kids were busy, and some were busier than others. But I noticed that particular literacy lab pupil, she was so focused, laser focused. She was going through the book. She had written way more than any other student that I saw in the group. And it was just, again, just proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know her before the lab started, not really in that sort of depth. But the confidence that she was displaying within the group, it has to be in part related to some of the work that she's done in Literacy Lab. So I was really happy to see.
And I think you hit on it there, the word pride. The children are proud to belong to, just the fact that they have until 4:15 to come to Literacy Lab. Mm. And so you'd kind of expect, and I did expect in that first week that,
they're
4:15, I'm like, come on, you have to come, and actually they're not. They're bouncing through at like 4:07 or, 4:10. They're proud to be part of this. They're proud to use their skills that they're learning everywhere else. And they're seeing it as something that puts them, on some kind of pedestal or mm-hmm. a pinnacle of the school.
Yeah.
So I
think this really make a big difference. Because once I heard like somebody say about no student want to be a bad student.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Every student want to be better. And this kind of literacy lab give them the opportunity to become a better of themselves. So they feel happy about that.
Yeah.
So they want to attend the literacy lab every day.
Yeah.
They don't feel tired about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And the next question is, what advice would you give to pupils who want to improve their reading or oracy skills?
Oh, there's lots of advice.
Yeah. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really key. So, some of the students that I've been speaking to that are signing up for the second round of Literacy Lab, which is March 9th. So it's getting a bit closer, but it's quite a ways away. And they've got the entire Chinese New Year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I encouraged all of them. I said, speak to your English teacher. Find out what can I do. Maybe it's IXL. Maybe it's a program like Read Theory or some other mm-hmm. program where they're engaging. But where they're actually reading, thinking about what they're reading. Best practice is also answering questions based on what they're reading, right? Like mm-hmm. really responding to the text. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just practice, practice, practice. We talked about English films, put on an English film, put on the subtitles, listen, read, listen at the same time, those sorts of things. So then maybe they can combine something that they enjoy, like watching a film or a TV show with also learning English.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be something that people dread, that students dread, that families dread. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to, for the student to be immersed in English as much as possible. So we do encourage families to engage as much as they can with their child's English learning.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely put on a film, a movie that has subtitles, discuss it after. If you've listened to a film in English, but there are Chinese subtitles, mm-hmm. and then as a family you discuss it, but you discuss it in your first language,
mm-hmm.
that's fine because it's still developing oracy skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're still thinking about what it is that you've heard, and you're critically engaging with that thing.
Right.
So it isn't just about reading, 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 reading. Mm-hmm. Reading is incredibly important, but think of it differently. Pick up an audiobook. We have such a luxury with our library. Mm-hmm. We are so well stocked.
Right.
Could you collect an audiobook? Could you discuss over dinner a topic for that day?
Mm-hmm.
We have, for example, in English, we have knowledge organisers that are sent home with children. So as much as it isn't literacy lab, it doesn't matter. Like, discuss that with your child. What does this word mean?
Mm.
What do you think about this? It all builds on that mm-hmm. child's ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's crucial for us.
Right.
If they have a need, if they have a want, if they have a desire, we can work with the child
mm-hmm.
And they will grow.
Yeah. And I think for reading, do you think it's like age appropriate reading better or like any reading is better?
I mean, You'd be the expert more than me, but I would say it has to be age appropriate for them. If they try and read something that's too far beyond their level, they won't understand anything. Right. And then it'd be challenging for them. Yeah.
And they will lose interest.
Lose interest, and they're not going to gain anything from it. It has to be. It's a little bit like when we talk about some of the homework, and I'm just using this opportunity to talk about it, but some of our students in the past have, if they take their English homework home, they tend to, if it's too difficult for them, instead of, it's too difficult for them, they don't want to really take the time to look at it. They might translate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Well, if they translate the whole thing, it turns into Chinese at a lower level, and it's not helpful for them. They're not learning anything from it, especially if it's English homework. So it's that idea that it has to be something accessible to them. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to invest a bit to figure out what it is. And as I mentioned before, hopefully engaging somehow with it, whether that's answering questions or preparing something to speak about it, to talk to somebody about it, whatever other strategies you might have.
I mean, the research tells us that a child on their reading journey should always be at the cusp where they're pushing their comfort zone. So they should never be reading something where they...
Too easy or
too difficult, but they should always be at the point where they, if they know every single word, you know, then it's probably just they're in their comfort zone. So they then need to move up a stage where they start to think about, okay, do I need to consider like looking up some of these words? And we see it in some of our students with the higher reading ages. We have vocab books and they will look up a word and they think, I don't understand this. So I'm not going to bypass it. I'm actually going to look this word up. I'm going to understand what it means. I'm going to clarify the word. And then suddenly I understand the text in a different way. So they should always be at the point where they are challenging themselves, but not to a stage where they don't understand what's going on in the text. And of course, in the library, we have newspapers that delivered, magazines that are age appropriate. And it's important as well, we think about context for our children. We do not want teenagers. We don't want 15-year-olds or 14-year-olds reading texts that are designed for primary age children,
right?
Contextually, it has to be correct as well, otherwise they will lose interest. So use the library. We've got our young adult section, and the books are color coded. So the children can use the color code and they can see, okay, my reading age is X. If I pick up the red books, they're in my age range, and this is YA, young adult fiction. So it's all contextually going to be relevant to me as well.
So have we recommend those kind of book list for them?
It's
part of the homework.
We send out a recommended book list for each grade in terms of kind of what ideally what we can what we can have them read at their particular age.
That's great. Thank you. The next question is actually, that's the last one. Thank you both for your insights. And we hope more people will benefit from the Literacy Lab. 那今天我们的直播呢，就到这里就要结束了。感谢两位老师给我们的分享。那如果屏幕前的家长们对我们的 Literacy Lab 比较感兴趣的话，也可以联系我们的 Michelle 老师，报名我们下一期的这个 Literacy Lab。那感谢各位观众朋友们的收看，谢谢。Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Yeah. Thank you.